is true culinary. This is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen, that big money what we eat. Oh.
Best dishes, stories from the kitchen.
Kitchen rolls, throwing cutters in podcast form.
Who's Hungry Baby, episode 52 of the Rags to Dishes podcast. I'm your host, Max Messier-Richter. With me, as always, is the great Dan Cotter. Dan, how you doing? You packing a bowl over there?
Yes, big up yourself.
Yeah, we got to get real ready here. It's a big recording day. So we got two guests on here. Got a double little whammy going on. We got Dan Bryant, who has not been on the podcast in about a year and a couple months. How are you, Dan?
I'm great. How are you?
Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Great to have you back. One of the OG guests.
I'm very excited.
The second guest ever is Casey and then Dan.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You were the second guest.
Oh.
And
the first white man in a long string of white male guests that we would eventually have on this podcast.
Oh, my God.
Craig Baum.
Hello. Yeah.
How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing good, you know.
So for anyone out there that doesn't know any of Craig or Dan, us three all work together at Bucktown.
AKA. Milk was a bad choice.
So this is probably going to end up being the final Bucktown episode. We did have CJ on. And, I mean, Craig, I want to hear a little bit about your beginnings, though, in the industry. Like, what got you into the game?
So I would say the real beginning for me was like going to diners. I'm from New Jersey, so diners were like,
hey, gabagool. Hey,
oh, come on.
Oh, pork roll.
And so I would, like my youngest like cooking memory isn't, or food memory is going, walking through a door and smelling that like greasy, bacony pancake.
Just that flat top.
Just the flat top.
Just the smell of a flat top grill.
And there's a place in Freehold that my dad used to take me to.
I saw that was sweet.
Open flat top. And it was just one guy behind the grill. And it was probably the owner. And it was fucking awesome just to see him sling hash and just fucking work and sweat. And fucking,
dude, when diner chefs are like killing it, it's like, dude.
It's
the whole, like, all right, this third of the flat top is just home fries. Like,
and it's shit so like that.
Exactly, dude.
Like, that and shit is nuts.
Fucking sausage apron is bacon.
Covered in grease.
Yeah.
The grease gut is so real.
Oh, yeah.
It's I remember, dude. I remember, so remember at SK how we had CPT? Common planning time?
Yeah.
I would always go to Phil's and get breakfast, and like seeing that giant mound of home fries cooking, you're just like, bro, I hope I get the fucking crispy ones.
Yeah, dude, you always get the crispy ones, though, because they take the spatula and they go, like, underneath the ones that are touching the flat top.
Flip it.
And when that goes onto your plate, you're always getting crispy ones. Like, that's, God. You know, diner cooking, it's an art form, bro.
It's its own fucking,
it's a beautiful dance.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
So you started just like you got inspired by diner chefs, or did you start in a diner?
And then I later worked at two different diners as a dishwasher. One was my friend's place, and you know that's just how you start.
How old were you?
14.
Okay.
Yep. So I was pretty young, right, working under the table, getting kitchen. $20. You know.
Yeah.
$20, they'll send you on your fucking way.
I feel like as far as dishwashing like is concerned, diner dishwashing, it's kind of got to be like the best of the bunch because it's just got to be like all the same shape plate and like minimal different types of pots and pans. Yeah. Like there's barely any prep getting done.
No, there's fucking no prep, man.
Like you're just getting all the same plate and that's
it.
It's
all a flat top.
Yeah.
It's fucking
no
sick.
Saute pans,
exactly.
None of that shit.
Like you're getting nothing for. I feel like being a diner dishwasher has got to be a tit shift.
Dude, it's fucking sweet. It makes you, because it makes you feel like a champ because you're just moving
like,
fast.
You're like, this is easy as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh man, I'm getting so much shit done, you know?
Yeah. All it's like, you know, it's like when a pro player goes down to like, you know, the minor leagues and just kicks the shit out of them for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like rehabs.
I remember
a really hot dish machine at your first dishwashing job.
Yeah.
You burnt the fuck out of your hands. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? What'd you
Why
do?
Why is it so hot?
Yeah, dude, because you know there's a little special boiler that brings it up to like almost fucking, it's like almost boiling or could be over boiling. And then like you grab a dish straight out the fucking washer. It fucking burns for your hands,
especially
man.
With your little you. Prepubescent hands when you're like 14.
Baby
lugger
14. Never hands. Worked before. Yeah, right. You know, shit like that.
The dishes.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember that.
But
so did you like work in diners like throughout high school basically?
No. I eventually moved on. I stopped working for a while because my grades were not
trash.
Great. Yeah, they were bad. They were really bad.
Did that happen after you beat the shit out of that dude?
Whoa.
If you want, if you want,
you're bringing up the story.
I have to bring up everything I know about you, bro. If you don't want to tell the story, that's one thing.
What's going on?
No, it's...
Craig got hit by a car, bro.
Wait. I'm only more confused by you saying that.
There's a lot of elements to this story.
Yeah, it sounds like it. What's going on here?
There's a couple things happened. Several. Are you talking about in high school?
Yes, I am. You know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I know, I just don't want to talk about it.
That's fine.
Well,
that's
it has
not
nothing to do
about
with
that.
My fucking food industry. It's just going to make me look like a fucking asshole.
I think it makes you look like a badass.
Well, I mean,
it would be hard.
People
to
that Max
you as an
thinks
asshole.
Are badass are usually assholes.
Like who?
Whoa.
Let's not get into it.
Craig is not an asshole.
I agree.
But he is a badass.
But he is a badass.
Okay, so let's skip that story. My bad.
Do you want? It's fine.
If you don't want to talk about it, dude, like I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
Do it.
All right.
Do it.
I remember like five distinctive stories about you, Craig, and this is one of them. So unnatural.
Do it, young Skywalker.
Well, when I was younger, a little more filled with piss and vinegar, I was walking home. No, I wasn't walking home. I was walking back to school, and there was an ice cream shop that we used to pass by.
What do you mean back to school?
Back to high school to catch the late bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Duffield.
And I saw one of my classmates. He was a senior. I was I think it was a sophomore at the time. He took his girlfriend and like shoved her to the ground. Just.
Wow.
Yeah.
For the listeners, he's motioning with one hand like a sweeping motion.
Like a, you know, like
a dismissive sweeping motion onto the ground.
Flung her to the ground. And I saw that and wasn't having any of it. And I sucker punched him right in his nose.
What?
We ended up scrabbling to the ground. And I ended up with a penknife in my leg.
What? He fucking drew on you, bro?
It was like, you know, the little, like, foldy pocket. This is
like a very small knife.
Very small knife. Yeah. It was like a little baby thing.
Like a fishing line
like a
knife.
Fucking, yeah. Exactly.
Flea market like ass
a,
knife.
Like what the little extension of a Swiss Army would be. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Wow. Carabiners that had a knife.
Yes.
Them.
You know, shit like that. And so that, and then I flopped over him. Sorry. I flopped over him. And, He got up and like snuffed off his nose. His face was fucking bloody. It was
oh,
bad.
So you fucked him up good.
I got on top of him.
Hit him correctly.
Yeah. And his girlfriend was very angry at the time that I did.
Oh,
that.
You mean you didn't walk away into the sunset?
No, I didn't. I didn't forget.
Come on, babe.
My hero.
No,
Lancelot. No.
She got very angry because you know the complexities of abusive relationships.
She was masochistic. Yes.
Anyway,
as we know, when it comes to Bucktown,
she took. I was walking away, and she got in her car and she hit me.
Wait, what? So you white knighted the shit out of her boyfriend to the ground, and then she got pissed at you, got in the car, and ran you the fuck over?
I flipped over her hood.
Oh, my God. Yep. And so I'm assuming this is all, like, in the parking lot of the high school or some shit?
This was in the parking lot of Cold Stone
Creamery. A diner?
You know, some sort of. Oh, yeah.
Shit goes down at the Cold Stone,
dude, you sound like a badass, not an asshole.
Fuck.
Yeah,
no. You're not an asshole in that situation.
You might have made a bad judgment call,
but you're young.
It was a bad judgment call. And two, you just never know what's going on in a relationship. at that point. And it's not appropriate. What he did was not appropriate.
He deserved the punch to the nose.
He deserved the punch to the nose.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's almost no right thing to do in that situation.
There's repercussions to the woman that I didn't know. You know, that's the deal.
I mean, you can't just punch him in the face, but you also can't just like ignore that shit. So yeah, there's almost no right thing to do in that situation.
I mean, she didn't do the right thing either by getting in the car. It was a bunch of bad decisions.
She didn't do the right thing by dating that guy.
Again, the complexities of abusive relationships, you know.
So was that the first time you met James Franco?
Oh, it was a bad choice.
Oh yeah, God, dude. So that's that story.
Got that out of the way.
So back to cooking now.
Yeah.
After you fucking got hit by a car, you hopped right back up and got into another kitchen. Where'd you go?
So for a summer job, I went to my aunt and uncle's Virginia, and she got me a job at the
shout out Wiz.
so much Virginia. She got me a job at a place called Snackers. It was in the water park. It was a big resort that they worked for. And it was probably my favorite line cook job I have ever held.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Why?
At like 15. Because I was making it was pizza, burger, hot dogs, chicken fingers, fries, and salads and sandwiches.
Oh my God.
Were they like frozen burger patties?
Yes,
and shit?
It was all trash pre-made pizzas? It was crusts, and I had to put on a little quarter cup of cheese. And then we had a little oven that was a conveyor belt oven. One of my most distinct memories, it was super busy. And it was just me on the line at the time. My two managers had stepped out to go take a smoke and go to the bathroom. And they came back, and I was working like four pizzas, like a bunch of burgers on the grill. I had buns lined up. I had fucking salads getting made. And it was just me. And I remember sprinting back and forth across this line doing fried chicken, dropping like a fucking savage. And I watched them look over at me like with like hands like, yeah.
We've struck gold.
Exactly, dude.
Bro, that is so validating. How old are you?
I was 15.
Bro, when you are 15, I've been there, my guy. When I was like working at Arturo's or some shit, and I was young as fuck, even if it's just in the dish pit, if you're like 14, 15, and you're sweating balls and dishes and suds are flying everywhere, and you're like a Tasmanian devil of productivity, like... And you see them being like, wow, kid, you really got it. It's like the most validating shit ever. And that's how they rope your ass into working in the goddamn service industry.
That's 100 fucking percent how that
happens. Fucking validation feels goddamn great.
Yeah, dude. It feels great.
100%.
They're like, wait, you mean I'm killing it here? Like, oh, it feels so good.
Dude.
Yeah, then they don't pay you enough for it. And you're like, yo, what? Like, yeah. Whoa.
Then the alcoholism sets in.
Totally.
I've been shredding at 100%.
Dude, so 15 and you were like rocking that shit,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's skills, though. That's more than just normal level. Like,
it felt so good, dude.
Dude, it feels great.
And like not, you know, coming from a background of like just not being good at like anything, just being shitty in school, was not
sports
social in school,
shit.
Not good at sports, fucking whatever. And like being in the line and feeling like, well, I can fucking
like,
do this.
In this chaos.
I can fucking do this.
In this like, shit storm of chicken tenders and man sweat, I can fucking kill it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And that's what got me hooked for sure.
Damn.
And you still get that rush after like every like big rush you crush and you knock all those tickets down. You're like, you know what? That was pretty fucking
dude, that's the thing. The industry is so rewarding and also so taxing. But I would say like
more taxing.
Yeah, but the thing is like we were just saying like we were joking about how you were saying that this was the best line job you ever had because all you had to do was drop chicken tenders.
He wasn't there for the
make
money.
Frozen burgers. Well, that's what I would say. He's exactly there for the money because I would say like it's weird.
How interesting of you.
It's weird because like the jobs that are like the easiest are like the least rewarding, you know, because like you're just dropping frozen burgers onto a flat top and like, you know, hot dogs into a fucking, you know, like boiling water or whatever you cook them in.
Yeah.
But like when you have to do like a hard, more complicated, rewarding ass job, it's just fucking hard as fuck. So I feel like it's like, it's a tough line to walk where it's like, I want my job to be easy, but not like so easy it's boring. Yeah. You know? Like,
yeah, I mean, we talk all the time about doing celeb dish shifts.
Dude, that's the thing. It's like, I want to do a celebrity dish shift. I don't want to be a dishwasher.
I want to be paid $20 an hour.
Like, listen, I just want to work three dish doubles in a row and be done with it.
Just so I can be like, you see this shit? You see how empty my seats are?
How fucking clean this station is, bro?
Clean steel, dude. Bro.
Dude.
Oh, so, before we get to J-Will, what came next?
That was pretty much it. That was it. So, I mean, I had issues with my grades, and my parents were like, nope, you're done.
Yeah,
you're done.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and that's fair. I didn't think I was going to go to college, but I ended up going. Fair.
You got into J-Wu? You wanted to go for food and shit.
Yeah. I did. I wanted to go for food. My guidance counselor was like, dude, you're not getting in. It's no chance.
Yeah, my guidance counselor said the same shit.
Well, dude, it's good that you had a passion, because like, I remember when I was in high school, late high school, I was in the same boat where it's like, you know, my grades were going down, and like, I mean, it was just like, I had no goal. Like, it wasn't like, I'm going to go to school to do this. It was like, yeah, I'll get a fucking liberal arts degree. I'll take gen ed courses. Like, the fact that you were like, I like food, I want to do food, let me go to J-Wu. That's like already better than a lot have, like just having that drive. Yeah. That aim.
All right. So I got a question for you as a J-Wu student. Mm. I'm doing a little survey I'm doing a little survey asking J-Wu graduates. You graduated, yeah?
Yep.
How many hours of dishes they did in their whole career?
At J-Wu?
Just at college, though. Not like the job you worked while you were in college. Just at college.
Just at school washing dishes.
All 4 years.
Was there a dishwasher?
How many hours? How many hours?
I want to say like solid 15 to 20
in 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, you end up.
Well, dude, what do you expect?
I know. I mean, it's.
Dishwashing is something that the school would expect you to have learned at home. And the most that they would have to teach you is like, what an industrial dishwasher does.
As easy as dishwashing is, it's not the same as washing dishes.
When they're teaching people Julian and shit, like, they're wrong.
I'm writing you down right now. 15 to 20 hours.
He's collecting data. God,
we're gonna have a graph show.
He's starting an Excel spreadsheet.
I'm serious. I am. Most people so far have told me. No one has told me more than 100 hours, and the lowest I've heard is 2.
You done 2 hours of dishes. You got fucking lucky.
So now, after shitting on J-Wu a little bit,
Honestly, if I was going to J-Wu, I would be like mad if I was doing hella dishes. I'd be like, I'm not paying this tuition.
Yeah, but yo,
it's just all problem.
Yo, that's when you learn that, yo, this is not what I'm into because I don't want to do
that. That's a fucking problem. Yeah.
That's what James would say.
It's, you know, you work it up. Yeah. But what did you like?
The most important job in the restaurant.
It's so true.
It is.
It's what your lips to God's ears, dude.
How did you, did it inspire you more? Yada, yada, yada. What was it like for you?
So the first 2 years was grueling. I almost dropped out, came very close just because it was, I was kind of appalled at the situation because it was learning.
They weren't ready for you.
It was learning how to fry. It was learning how to roast. It was learning how to bake. It was it was these basic cooking techniques that I've already learned.
So you were just frustrated by how basic
it was? It was so fucking basic. And you have kids in there that are, I don't know what I want to do. And that's fair. You know, I get that. You know, hopefully fucking it inspires them to want to do something.
Never even seen a potato.
But
never even seen their whole life.
But like there was like, oh yeah, I don't know if I want to be like, I remember this a conversation with this girl. I'm like, you've never worked in a restaurant before. And she was like, no, 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 no. But like, you know, doctors aren't doctors before they're doctors.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Bro. That's honestly a similar shit because that's like I've known people that have been like, I'm going to go to school for nursing. And then they become a nurse and they're like, nope.
Nope.
Nah.
No.
Wait, actually, I don't care about people. Oh,
yeah, it's like, oh, wait, no blood, guts? No. Okay, yeah, I'm good. No. Old people shitting everywhere?
Hey, but
cool.
At the same time, people make mistakes. You know, we're young and we're trying to figure out.
And then you go on and you do
going
something else. I feel like J-Wu is known for that shit. And that culinary school is known for that shit. It's because people go, like, they watch the Food Network.
Well, it's like going to art school,
too. And they think that's what.
It's the same type of.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Art school, I feel like, is different, though, because it's like you don't go to art school and then at the end you get a job in the real art world and you're cooking on an art line. We have to crank out 10 paintings in a minute because you have tickets on the board. Like,
listen, but like I need 10 sculptures.
That shit doesn't happen. But like in cooking, you think like, OK, I'm going to get a job and it's going to be like the Food Network. Everything's going to be clean and immaculate and a British person's going to yell at me. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then they realize that no, an American person's going to yell at you. Like, no. Nonstop.
No, probably a Guatemalan person's gonna yell at you.
Seriously.
Like, you have to clean that for it to look like that.
Yeah.
You have to like, do that.
It's not just gonna be clean. Yeah. You have to work clean.
Like, listen, you have to shuck this whole bag of onions. Like, I'm sorry. It sucks.
Yeah. I would be interested to see, like, in terms of, like, if there was any statistics that you could gather on, like,
I'm working on
when people go to college for a particular field. And what is the percentage of people that wind up never working in that field? And I feel like culinary is something where, like, a lot of people that go to school for culinary get their first job in the kitchen and are just like, nope, I did not know it was going to be like this. And then they're just out.
Right, well, then I feel like a lot of people become, like, nutritionists and shit like that. Because they find at least the they have route. A degree to be like, all right, well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Shout out to the nutritionists though. Like, y'all are dope.
Shout out,
that ain't no hate.
Shout out to all our nutritionists.
So Craig, another thing that I remember about you very well is you were roommates with my good friend Scout.
Yeah.
And Scout has to come on the podcast soon. So maybe we'll get you. I don't know. We'll see. But I was told that you used to make your own beef jerky at home. Is that true?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's tell us about it.
It's fucking super overpriced in the store and you get
it's
tired
so
of it.
It's so fucking overpriced.
Insane, dude. And
you want a healthy snack, you got to spend 10 fucking bucks.
Yeah. For like a little 3-ounce package.
Whereas like the giant bag of Doritos is like $4.
It's the same amount of mess too for like a tiny little bag of Doritos.
Yeah.
A little bag of beef jerky.
Dude, it's because how much cheaper corn is than fucking meat.
Yeah, 3 ounces.
Can't give away corn in this goddamn country.
So how did you set it up?
Yo, fuck corn. All my homies hate corn.
I think she probably remembers the oven.
I love corn.
Because
the band's cool, though.
I would marinate.
I did my turn.
Or I'd slice, you know, like whatever from the steamship round. Slice any like cut, thin slice. Marinate with like soy sauce, sugar, whatever. And then you'd hang it on the racks. And I think she probably came home once to me like scrubbing out these racks that have been like dried with fucking beef, you know, dry beef and dripping. Soy sauce on them, just dripping in the oven for the past, you know, 10 hours.
Funny.
Dude, dried beef. Fucking awful.
Super gnarly.
I was if she comes on the podcast, she'll tell you I was a bad roommate.
I don't think she would say that.
I think she would.
It was hanging beef everywhere. It was just hanging in the shower.
It only escalated because I did end up start doing salumi in my closet in my next apartment. So it did only escalate
dude
from there.
Is curing meats.
This guy hangs beef.
So when you got out of...
What's that smell in your closet? Nothing, Mom. I'm just curing meats.
Oh, dude, you don't even want to get me going with that.
It's beef.
Jeez.
When you were in culinary school, did you get a job in any restaurants?
I did, yeah. I worked two jobs while I was in school, and I worked at a place called Easy Entertaining, which shout out to them. If you want an exemplary place where employees are treated well by management.
I've never even heard of this place.
I know. It's an upscale. I know. No one knows
where
about
is it.
It's in Oneyville. They do Donut Fridays. They have a little cafe. I recommend getting their donuts. They're fucking solid.
Is it like a breakfast place or is it like a nighttime place?
Breakfast and lunch.
Diner.
It's a breakfast lunch. And yeah, it's like a diner situation. And on top of that, they do catering, like really nice catering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was my sophomore year. Yeah, sophomore year I started with them. And Kate, the owner, and Ashley taught me a whole... Ashley's just the chef. She taught me a whole lot. And Kate is just a wonderful boss. So, I mean, if you want to... really good spot to work. Shout out to them. Easy Entertaining. And then the other place that was really formative for me was New Rivers, which is on...
Oh, I didn't know you worked there.
Yeah. I worked there. I worked with just a great group of guys. I got wicked lucky. I mean, it was like I had three older brothers working in the kitchen, teaching me shit. It was awesome. It was awesome.
And they're pretty next level too. So
yeah, yeah, they were, we had handmade pastas. We had, I went there for the charcuterie program. I actually took a class with the old owner, who was Tillinghast, Mike Tillinghast, who trained Bo, who owns it now. And
Tillinghast
referred me to Bo, and you know, I got lucky.
That's cool.
But yeah, a lot of great guys. My boy Eli taught me a whole bunch. He owns Hotline Pizza. Do you guys know that now?
Yep.
Yeah, he has Hotline Pizza.
Yes, of course. When you let that hotline bling, yes, of course.
We got it. We got pizza.
Once. Can only mean one thing.
So yeah, Eli, Jamie, he has Lala Pita in Oneyville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
we love Jamie.
Dude, repping Oneyville hard.
Another Bucktown guy.
Yeah, another Bucktown guy. He was there for a short stint.
His
yeah.
hair is very sexy and long.
He does have a sexy hair. It's true. It's true. And then we have TJ, who was the sous chef at the time and an incredible chef. He went back to school. He's now doing food science. Yeah.
Yeah, so he got out of the industry, food science.
Yeah, no. He really didn't like his job at the end of New Rivers, and you know, I get it, it's stressful, it's hard, and so he stopped, and yeah, he switched out. But the other two guys, you know, still in the industry, that makes two out of four. It's pretty good.
Hey, you're leading the league with that batting average.
No doubt.
Par for the course right there.
So you worked at those places.
Yep.
Then you graduated.
Well,
then did you meet Adam Mir? Like, what the fuck happened?
Sorry, yeah, no.
Yeah, so, how'd you get to Fucktown?
Oh, God. Yeah. So what happened was...
Fucktown,
I like that.
We had agreed, me and Craig agreed before we came on here.
Pull this up.
Sorry. We had agreed to refer to it as prolapsed asshole. in lieu of actually naming the business.
Okay, so
for any listeners that
we'll bleep out
have
when I
not
said,
listened
down.
To Dan's first episode, Dan is a... Why don't you tell your relation to Bucktown real quick?
I'm a prolapsed asshole adjacent.
Yes, of course.
I've invested a lot of money into that business.
Yes. Are you a part owner?
I'm a part owner.
How's that going for you?
Sorry.
It's not going. It's going great for my tax returns.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, shout out.
Yeah,
and former manager, and
this episode is mainly supposed to be about Craig, so
yeah, no, but I wanted you on. So
we're just about like, his experience,
yeah, that's,
and I'll just comment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we need to know where you're coming from as a commenter. So this lays a good base that just to remind the listener that
I
you are.
I invested many man hours and sweat and blood and tears
and money,
into Bucktown, and
yeah.
You know, maybe I wasn't the greatest, but
you were the greatest. You've always been the greatest.
Are we
there's no dispute
right now?
Here.
Yeah, we are.
Right. Yeah, don't blow this. Do not fuck up the recording, bro.
I'm not.
Okay, I want to trust
my
you.
Headphones cut out.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
I'm not a great manager.
All right, so you are heavily invested in Bucktown, at least up until this point. You've worked there. You've run the place. You've been invested in there.
I put a lot of emotional investment into that place.
And then did you invest a lot of that emotion into our boy Craig over here? Is that where you met Craig?
Craig is my guy, and I fucking love Craig.
So you guys met at Fucktown?
Craig was there before me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was the first employee that stayed at Bucktown.
You were like
Ashley.
The first person that was hired that stuck it out?
Yes.
So you were like a founding member?
I
Craig was a founding member. I was not.
You were a founding cook, chef. Like, what did you do when you started?
So
Craig taught me how to make a chicken sandwich.
You were fresh out of college. You were fresh out of JWU?
No, I was still in JWU at the time. I think I was a junior. Yeah, I was a junior at JWU.
You were just like piping the icing on your degree.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like finishing
just
it
waiting,
off.
Waiting for it. Yeah. Waiting for it to bake in the oven, finishing it. My boy TJ, after he left New Rivers, he worked at North Bakery, slamming spot. Miss it.
Yeah,
I miss North Bakery. Those fucking bagels.
Bagels,
bro.
Stuff bagels.
Oh yeah.
And he told me there was a guy that kept coming in that was looking for a guy from Cook and Brown, which is on the east side, adjacent to.
This is
Shape. Are you saying cook and brown or cooking brown?
Cook and brown. It's a decent restaurant. It's got great cocktails. It's on.
Okay,
the east
I figured it was that because cooking brown would not be a good name for a restaurant. Good.
Yeah, it is.
Last time I went,
I haven't gone yet.
That was good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Probably because homeboy's not there anymore.
Yeah, because fucking Adam. So Adam helped open that restaurant. And anyway, so TJ,
the aforementioned infamous Adam Muir.
I don't mean to use
his full government name, my bad. But yeah.
I actually used to know his middle name too, but I can't remember.
We could drag him even more.
Oh god, dude.
So you met him?
Yeah, I met him. So TJ introduced us. And TJ told me he was looking for a sous chef, and it was going to be my first sous chef position that I was like, oh man, maybe I'll give it a shot. Maybe I'll fucking try it.
It's a big deal.
Haven't really cut my teeth with that. So
yeah.
I went for it and I got into the interview and he's like, no, none of that is true. We're opening up a fried chicken spot and we just need people to fry chicken. And I said, well, you know what? All right, sure.
I can dip a basket into oil. So.
I'm surprised he went to you.
TJ? Or
Adam.
Oh, Adam. No, I went to him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you saying you're surprised because Craig isn't a black woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Milk was a bad choice.
Yes, I guess according to Adam it was.
So, that's how we kind of found each other, I guess. So we... I helped kind of do small pieces of the build out for that for the actual restaurant space, like, you know, putting stools together, putting the tables together, moving fridges.
So
like
your shit from IKEA or something?
Craig is a fucking beast and can move a lot of fucking weight
and can build things.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Oh God. I'm an ox, straight ox.
Dude, you're like, dude, when we had to move that the two-door fridge.
Oh, the two-door fucking fridge.
Was insanely heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, let's just prop it up real quick, throw some little rods on that bitch, and we'll fucking... It's like, damn, this guy has fucking upper body strength.
Let it be known. Craig is a straight up beast of
burden.
Craig
is a fucking beast.
Yeah. He's a beast of burden.
Spirit animal donkey. And probably will not, but he could break your spine.
Oh my God!
Let's not put that out there.
Are you?
I'm just saying.
For the listeners, Craig, I will not.
So
break
if
your
you're
spine.
Out there abusing your woman in public,
Craig would never. Yeah,
and you see this motherfucker right here.
Craig moonlights as Bane.
No,
he's gonna go out there and snap bitches.
Now's not the time to panic.
He will hurt you.
He will snap a rich white boy's back right over his knee.
I like how that's how Batman is. But this motherfucker has a heart of gold.
He's a fucking spoiled rich white boy.
It's fucking true.
All my parents are dead.
Anyway,
talking about Batman. Yeah, he is
The batting gentleman.
I mean, the only thing worse than Batman is Iron Man.
Yeah, fuck.
They're the same thing. Anyway, so let's get back to reality. Let's get back to 6/16 here.
I started.
There we go.
I started 2 months before we opened. And we had another guy that was hired before me, and he quit before we opened.
Who?
I can't remember his name.
Coward.
Sounds about
right. Can't remember his name.
So he was quick into it. He was like, yeah, fuck this guy, I'm out.
Yeah, he was. Well, I think it was more like, oh, you guys.
Yeah, coward or smarter than everybody because he figured it out.
Like every restaurant, you know, like you, you know, the date you open is not always the date you open.
It's
right?
never the date.
You open. Right, exactly.
It's a soft opening.
It's a soft opening. And so the opening gate kept getting pushed back, and the build-out kept getting later and later because of a whole bunch of shit. And so, yeah, eventually we did open, and it was just me, Ashley, Adam, and thank you.
Somebody else's.
I think someone else.
Name started with an A.
Yeah, and so and somebody else. And then we started getting going. And did a soft open, and it was absolutely miserable. What I recall,
because it was slow or because it was fast.
No, because it was almost immediately popular, and it was just me and Ashley for a while.
You had no idea what you were doing for a while. You know? Like, cool. I guess this is life now, where we're slammed, and none of us have made this food before in like a work environment.
Fuck it.
That's got to be nuts. Like, I've worked lots of jobs in kitchens where it's been very busy. And you're cranking shit out hardcore. I've never been in a kitchen where you're like, none of us have ever done this before.
Oh, yeah.
And we're busy as fuck.
Also, yeah. Like,
we're figuring out how this kitchen works while we have a full house.
Exactly. Not knowing what type of volume to expect.
No idea.
Just like, you don't even just know. Going for it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like,
there was no set like, oh, we need six full deep hotel pans of chicken thighs or else we're fucked on Saturday. You know, that shit wasn't around.
You don't even understand like what the hot spots on your grill are or shit like that.
No, like, shit like that, dude.
My first shift was you trained me and we worked on a line and then you're like, all right, you can go. And then you made me a chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, like what's going on with the rest of the day here? And it was just you and Ashley there.
Yeah. It was just me and Ashley there.
Yeah, I guess you guys just gonna like.
I remember. So Ashley needed a break. She needed a day off because none of us were taking days off. And
none of us, as in you and Ashley,
me,
or was Adam taking days off?
You know, that's a good question. He always had office work to do. It was just me and Ashley not taking days off. And eventually, you know, we started closing up the hours. And I remember we were going to open breakfast. He really wanted to push breakfast. And there's fucking like three employees.
And how they don't do breakfast now, right?
Like no, they fucked right off.
How long did it last? It lasted a long time.
What, like three years?
They did breakfast for.
What do you mean by breakfast? Because we always had an egg sandwich, but it's not like we did like a breakfast.
No. It was the hours.
We used to open at 7 a.m.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And what time do we open when I work there? We get there at
I don't know. What time did you go 11? To work, bro?
Yeah, I don't remember. When I worked there, what time did we open?
What, 10:30? 9? 11?
10.
But was that like 11. You opened at 9? You came in at 9 to prep and you opened at 11? Like what was it?
It
was 10 on the weekends. It was 11 during the week and then 10 on Saturday.
Yeah. But you were coming in at 9 basically to cook? Or?
Oh, yes, but, yes. Because you'd come in, we'd come in early. Like, you wouldn't come in.
Just to set up your shit. Right?
No, but sometimes you'd come in a little early too, just like get some prep done quick, like to start the day.
Okay.
That first like year or two that we were open though, like we opened at 7 for breakfast.
Yeah.
And we would have to come in and we would make fucking beignets.
Yeah, the biscuits and shit.
And the sausage.
Yeah, we had to make the sausage.
You can't see this, but I'm like nudging.
Did people get to see how the sausage was made?
God, dude. I'm like, yo, you remember this shit?
Dude, it was insane.
From, what's that over on?
Federico.
We would get the sausage from them, and we would mix it with the
you would get like you would get like
we'd mix it with maple syrup and
you would just zhuzh up ground sausage that they would bring you in like 10-pound rolls or some shit.
Beignets, and we would be open at 7 a.m.
And how much business would you get?
Fucking nothing, because you're a
fried chicken joint, and nobody knows to think of you for breakfast.
Nobody's going down fucking Westminster.
Nobody's waking up in the morning and going, "Where can I get an egg sandwich?" Okay, there's Dunkin', there's Starbucks, and then there's Fucktown.
Let me go over there. Well, I could wait until 7 a.m. to get my breakfast sandwich, or I could just get my fucking breakfast sandwich at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, dude. That's
it was fucking silly. It was like the hours didn't work out. The hours didn't like work out with the, you know, the breakfast crowd. Like,
yeah, unless you got a reputation as like a coffee establishment or something, you shouldn't be trying to dip into that game.
Because the location had been previously, it had been a, it was like a diner.
Yeah, it was a lunch counter.
Certainly seems like
at 4 a.m.
Yep. Tony Fat.
I feel like Bucktown did pretty well. Like anytime we did like a brunch, like the late crowd.
But was it like a big event where it's like this Sunday we're doing our once a month brunch event?
No, but it's as a general thing, brunch.
No,
thing.
It was just like because on the weekends, like when I worked there, we opened at like 11 and 10 on the weekends.
Yeah,
and at 10 on the weekends, the place was fucking slammed because it was. You know, hungover people that were like, fuck it, I want a chicken biscuit.
Fried chicken.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
And there was a church crowd, too, on Sundays, you know, after church let out. Yeah. It was
Lord of mercy. Yeah. Cunts. Anyway, go ahead.
Non-tipping-ass motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah, yo, fuck church. All my homies hate church.
We science
wow, that's
up
a
in
hot
here.
Take, man. A hot
fuck
take
Jesus.
On church.
All my homies hate Jesus.
Man.
Not Chris Church,
43
though.
Minutes
much
in.
Much respect to Chris Church.
So I want to... What were you going to say, Dan?
We were going to say fuck Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're past that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gone.
It was fuck Jesus 20 years ago.
Are you saying that hating Jesus is played out, dude? Because I respectfully disagree.
No, it's underrated. But Craig, I want to talk about Adam some more, dude. What's cooler than hating Jesus?
Shitting your pants.
Okay.
All right, man. You do you, man.
Keep going. Keep going.
Shout out Shea Boy.
So meta.
That wasn't a Shea Boy reference, but
it is now.
Shout out Shea Boy.
Working there, I didn't work with you when you first opened it up there. So, like, at some point you quit and then came back. Like, what transpired that made you have to take that first break, at least?
Well, it's funny you bring up the story in the beginning. That led to a knee injury where I have a little plastic disc in my knee for cartilage, basically.
Well, good thing I brought it up then.
Yeah, you brought it up. And so I had to get that replaced around
that time.
Yeah. It was I only worked, I think it was the end of the summer. Dan had just joined, and I had to take it, and it led to I had 2 weeks off, and then I got a bone infection. I had to deal with that.
Oh, my God. Shit.
Led to more time. I was on a cane for a while and had to work for – I worked for an office. It was WVA. We helped veterans get medical assistance. But, yeah, so I ended up doing that.
See, he told you this motherfucker has a big heart.
Dude, that's gnarly as fuck. Also,
it's just because it was a desk job and I could only sit. But yeah, no, I enjoyed the time I worked.
Okay, so you didn't quit.
I didn't actually quit. No, no, I had to leave for medical, and when I showed back up with a cane, I was like, no, it's I can't do the line. So, yeah.
So how much time in between stints?
So I think I graduated. So it was probably 2 years afterwards. I graduated from JWU, and I was looking for a job. And I think I just put in maybe like 10 hours a week.
Still walking around on a cane?
No, I was done. I was it was healed up after, okay, you know, 3 months or something
did,
like that.
Did this Adam ever ask you, like, you could, you know, it's not that much of a big deal.
No, actually.
Like, you could probably do some more hours.
It was funny enough.
We'll get you, like, a little stool.
He was very much like, no, you're not working here.
Like, did you ever, like, consider bone infection as, like, a band name or something like that?
It's a pretty rad band name.
Yeah. At least an album title. It's pretty sick.
I would definitely listen to Bone Infection.
Bone Infection. There's so many hard consonants.
It sounds like a Gwarf spinoff, you know?
Infection. Where
it's just
bones.
Just the gore, you know, just the gore of gore, you know?
Yeah, pretty sick.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
So you recovered like a champion, and then what happened?
So I started.
And you graduated.
Kicked that Bone Infection's
and
ass.
I was looking for a job, and I think I put in, I think.
Bodied that shit.
Like, you know, 10 hours or something like that, just while I was looking for a job. I eventually got a job with Ben Sukel at Birch, and that was great. I had a great time there.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Birch. Sorry, Birch. Met one of my favorite sous chefs that I've ever had, which is Greg Redfield. Incredible cook, incredible chef.
Shout out.
And yeah, so I don't know why I said it was great. Because I wasn't a good fit for it. I did like the job in hindsight. Like, I liked that I was working in fine dining, that it was hardcore. Like, I would get up in the morning. I would.
It's rewarding. You feel like you're part of something cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
By the way, go.
That's what I'm saying. Count. Like, it's
what
like.
Were you gonna, what were you
I was
doing?
Gonna, you know, I would routine? Get up in the morning. I would go to the farmer's market. I would go to South County and get sea lettuce, find sea rocket capers, you know, sea rocket flowers or whatever,
shit,
and come back and start my prep for the day. And, like, it really felt like, you know,
and
in hindsight.
Like a movie about being.
Yeah, this is a Nora Ephron movie where, like, everything is, like, in a beautiful kitchen. Like,
yeah.
This is sick
this
shit.
This is chef.
But he didn't sleep at all.
No, I mean, it was
this entire time.
Immensely stressful. I remember being, like, awake at night being like, oh, my God, I'm not ready for service tomorrow. Like, I know I'll never be able to pep. You know, prep enough or like whatever. It was very difficult.
That's
it was just me and
little fucking Compton to pick up those micro.
Yeah, I go to fucking little Compton to get those microgreens, man. Oh man,
go to micro Compton.
Go to micro Compton, man.
Get those little greens.
But yeah, I appreciate that now, but at the time I was dying, and you know, on top of that, it's a New England restaurant. It's meant to it was focusing on like New England flavors in general, and if there's something that encompasses that, it's the sea. It was a lot of seafood,
mm-hmm,
and I'm allergic to seafood.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
so you're, like, sick.
I couldn't taste, like, three quarters of the menu at any given time. and it was exhausting. Like every day, you know, we put up all our dishes that we make and we taste them every day before service.
It's so important, guys. Like, I mean, I know we're not like a cooking podcast as much as we are a service industry podcast, but I would like to think that our listeners learn a lot about cooking.
I mean, people have told me that they learn a lot
it's
about.
Cool. I wasn't
just
asking,
like,
but okay, what well, I was saying yourself. Is that I think that one of the number one things that everybody has to know about cooking is you must be tasting the entire time you're cooking something.
100%.
You got to be tasting to make sure that shit is going right. I cannot imagine ever serving something to somebody that I haven't like tasted ahead of. Now, obviously, in a restaurant, it's one thing because it's like, I don't need to taste every Red Rage burger because, like, I know what the Borson tastes like. You know, yeah. What I mean?
You may yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yes.
But you know what I mean. And not being able to taste something because you're allergic to it—that sucks, dude.
It was brutal.
That's gotta be like.
What's like the percentage of things you were not able to taste? Would you say?
I would say like at any given time, like between 3/4 of the menu, just because the desserts never had fish in it, and you know, like. I don't know.
That's wild.
Like 90% of the entree menu, or
maybe
some
like
shit?
2/3. You know, like it was bad.
That sucks. I feel like you're serving sucked. People blind. Like you're like,
well, it's hard, but you know,
this tastes good on paper. I don't know.
I hope this is good. Hey, well, but you know, you have a team
looks
and everything.
Fire. Yeah. It looks great, man. It's gonna be good.
I smelled
like
the oil
like,
in the
feel
pan.
Like you're a good enough fucking chef, Greg. That you know what you're cooking, even if you can't taste it. You know what.
I can cook fish. Yeah, for sure.
It's just like, a disadvantage.
Somebody once told me, and I was like, "Oh man, like I don't know if this is like good because like I don't eat it and I think it's gross."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Well, that's fucking bullshit. Like, you can fucking cook it.
You can cook it. Yeah. You got it.
You need to know how to do it." I'm like, yeah. "All right," but I'm still like, "Is this okay?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's fucking fine. Get it out. You know, like,
get it hot. Hot. Get it out."
Get it hot, get it out, man.
Like, Craig, you know how to cook seafood, and I know this from working with you. You know how to do it. You know what you're fucking doing.
Yeah, you cook it until the shells open, and then you give it to the people.
You know what you're fucking doing.
You cook the thing until the thing is cooked, and then you give it to the
person. Once the clam shells open, they're done.
And they're done, bro.
You just, Craig knows what he's
fucking doing. It shows you what it's
done. They shuck themselves, bro. Yeah, that's true,
yeah. So what happened, like, what made you leave Birch? Was that probably what made you leave Birch?
Yeah,
that you were allergic to fucking seafood?
It was a lot of that. And, you know, I was just like, oh, man, I'm kind of no use. I was floundering. And, like, no pun intended. Some pun intended.
Thank you.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. And so, you know, it came down to actually there was a couple. We would do tastings on weekends. Or on our weekend, which was Tuesday, Wednesday, we would pick out a day and we would put up new food that we were going to put on the menu. And it came to a head where it was just stagnating and stagnating. And I made a dish that I was really proud of, that I really liked. And everyone else liked it. It just didn't fit our menu. It didn't fit like the style of cooking. And I was pretty bummed. And I was like, you know what? I appreciate all I've learned here, but I'm not going to stay. And so eventually I talked to Ben and I said, hey, you know, cause it's a small kitchen. It was just three of us. Yeah. And then Ben, which was the fourth, I said, you know, hey, you know, I'm not going to give you a 2-week notice. I'm not going to say like, you know, find a new guy. I'm not going to give you an hour notice. I made sure that he got a new guy to replace me and I would train that new person. So that took a couple months. And we found.
Damn, you gave like a couple months notice. That's hardcore.
I gave
that's dedication
until they found someone that could replace me. Notice, like it could have been a couple, you know, whatever. So anyway, I did that. I got him trained, got him ready to go, and he was doing fine. New guy was doing fine. Did a little trip to Japan where I did like a little kind of food sabbatical thing. Went to some butcher shops, went to Wagyu Beef Ranch. It was rad. It was sweet. And then I came back home and I found a new job actually through Adam. Adam is friends with this guy, Paul Wetzel, who taught me everything I know about charcuterie and salumi.
Wetzel's pretzels.
Wetzel's pretzels. We all know them.
Of course.
And anyway, so I got this job at a restaurant in New York, Gramercy Tavern. It's a one star.
Oh, let's get into Gramercy Tavern.
Oh, no.
Sure. Yeah. Also, yeah, yeah, let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah,
you were in the big leagues.
I did feel like I was in the big leagues.
Yeah.
You were.
25th Street? 23rd Street?
23rd. You're right. Okay. Yeah, 23rd. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And what? Lex? What's the cross street, bro?
Lex,
23rd
and Park?
Yeah, Park.
There you go.
Yeah, so I worked at Gramercy Tavern for 2 years until I was laid off till COVID. Next story. All right.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to withhold the juice?
You were slaughtering shit, dude.
It was sweet. I was. I worked my way through the entire meat program. I worked.
Defined meat program.
Oh, so hot.
So it was all whole animal butchery. We did all charcuterie, all salumi in house. Don't tell the health department that.
That's sick, though. So you get whole ass hogs into cows. The restaurant, and you would like grind your own salami, hang it for curing.
Yes.
You would fucking cut up your own. Dude, that is sick.
It was awesome. It was my dream job. It's where I found my passion, where I love. You know.
That sounds like a dream job if you're
interested. This actually never happened.
Yep. Sorry. No.
Oh, shit. Was this part of the simulation?
No,
we know you're listening. Okay. FDA, get the fuck out of here.
So while you were doing that, I remember because I was wicked amped on this for a little while. Weren't you like making your own like spoons and shit and selling them?
That's right. Yeah. I kind of started really focusing on my woodworking hobby and being like, oh man, I'm just going to kind of do a show and relax and, you know, on my weekends or one day a week.
I thought you were going to say you were taking the femur right out of the goddamn pig and like carving a bone fucking spoon.
It's funny you said that. Yeah, I made a
big Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy.
I made a plaque for the meat room. It says Gramercy Tavern Meat Locker, and it has a cow standing on a chicken standing on a pig standing on a cow.
Nice.
And I scrimshot it on a huge, my first piece of beef scapula,
he scrimshot it onto the beef bone.
Yeah, it was sweet. I was pretty happy with that.
That's fucking gnarly.
I thought that was cool. I really
so
wish
for
I took
our listeners,
that way.
Scrimshot is, that's the shit where you like carve into bone, like drawings and shit, right?
Yeah, you polish the bone, you carve it for a drawing, and then you stain it with black ink, and then you repolish it.
So you took a piece of fucking bone and you carved into, that's pretty badass.
That was sweet. I was pretty proud of that.
I mean, yeah, you're establishing yourself as a badass. I mean, Max wasn't lying here.
Told you.
Yeah, that was a really awesome chef tattoo.
Oh no.
Oh no.
What
honey.
Is your chef tattoo again?
I have a pig. I have a pig on my ribs.
I was going to say, do you have an 86 list on your ass cheek?
86
some shit.
Yeah.
86 list on your ass cheek.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're talking, so no one can see it anyway. But
do you want to see it?
Just yeah.
So
sure. This is the best audio content we could get is all you right. whipping out your tattoo. Let's see it. Dude.
Oh my God.
All right. It's so fucking so huge. Good. For the listeners, on like his abdomen, from the front of his body, like below his nipple, to like the back of his body, like by his shoulder blade, there's a tattoo of a pig, but it's like one of those pictures
head,
for like a butcher
shoulder,
where it's
belly,
like showing the different
butt.
Cuts of the pig. So it's like divided into sections, like, you know, chuck, belly, you know, bacon, shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty sick tattoo. That's gnarly.
So, like, Gramercy Tavern, think it was your best working experience in the kitchen?
It's
got to be in terms of clout. You know,
yeah,
it's clout.
Yeah,
definitely,
definitely,
yeah,
like
for
clout.
Sure.
I mean, Birch has a lot of clout, too, but I mean,
but
being like the butcher, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, at one point I was the charcutier, I was the sous vide cook, I was, and then
when you can put like Gramercy Tavern, like charcuterie, sous vide or whatever on your fucking resume, you're set for life in the cooking industry. You know,
yeah. Like, that I mean, that was definitely part towards the end of my career. That was like definitely the drive to like keep going, like maybe make it to meet room manager. Which my one of my mentors and friends.
Hey, aren't we all trying to just make it to that meet room manager, baby?
Sweet meet room manager, baby.
We gotta get that meat room in the sky, man.
Sean Enright, shout out to him. He was the charcutier when I first started, and I eventually replaced him when he became meat room manager, and I wanted him to make it to sous chef so I could become meat room manager. That never really happened because, you know, COVID.
What a fucking hierarchy.
Yeah, dude, I mean, it's a mess. I mean, everyone in that kitchen, if you're working on the line, their goal most likely is to become the sous chef or become a sous chef.
Everybody's shooting for that number one spot.
And, you know,
shout out Ludacris again.
I did a quick stint at
last episode
at Jean Georges, and it's even worse. It's like, as you get more stars and there's more notorieties, more Michelin stars anyway, it the environment becomes intolerable.
Yeah.
Everybody is looking to cut your throat.
It's just hostile.
So that, yeah. Exactly.
Thirsty as fuck.
And it's weird because, you know, we all start in kitchens where it's just like, man, this is a shitty job, but we're doing it together and it's just going to be whatever, man. We're going to get stoned and we're going to fucking do this.
And then it becomes an episode of Succession.
People are crashing interviews and shit.
It's like Game of Thrones out there. People are trying to cut each other's throats to climb that chaos ladder.
I had a story from a friend who worked at Nobu, and people would take his pot of water off, like
sabotage.
People would try to actually sabotage each other.
I would win that game I would be up in that bitch. Fucking.
But why does that fucking game exist? We're all just trying to fucking serve some goddamn fucking food, dude.
Max and I were honestly built for that saboteur lifestyle.
Yeah. I was like, you want to be the sous chef? Get ready to burn all your rice.
What's that? A quarter cup of white pepper accidentally got into your broth over here? Oh, you fucked up.
Get
you
fucked, dude.
Probably shouldn't even be working here.
Oh, shit, man.
That's fucked up, dude.
Listen, or like you guys not covering my entire station in fucking hollandaise is not.
Oh my god, dude.
But, you deserved it.
You know, that's just. Yeah. But we also taught each other a lot of things. So
yeah.
And the world keeps spinning.
Well, that kind of fun of games is fucking cool. But like the fuck, dude.
Oh yeah, man.
People are fucking with your.
So like, what's nice about being in the meat room is no one else really wanted to work the meat room, which is funny enough. People weren't into it. And
because you're basically just being a butcher,
You're in the basement. You know, you're not on the line. Like that'd be cool. There's no glory in it.
I'm
learning.
I mean, Mark Hunley Slaughterhouse. It's kind of like pretty brutal. Yeah.
Shout out, Royce 5'9". Shout out, Joe Bun. Yep. Shout out, Kid Crooked.
But you know,
and so COVID is that's how it just ended.
Yeah,
you went back. To Jersey?
I went back to New Jersey for like a short little while, and Adam called me up. This is where the story gets good, folks. Stay tuned.
Wow. Wait a minute. I wanna pull it back first.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
What a teaser.
So you came back to Bucktown, but that wasn't post-COVID.
I did.
Because we worked together, and I didn't work at Bucktown post-COVID.
Let me
set you up here.
Sorry.
You left Bucktown the second time to go to Gramercy Tavern.
Yes.
So what made you come back to Bucktown to come work with us again? You just needed money or what?
No. We worked together when I left Birch, and I was looking for a new job.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was right before Gramercy. I left Bucktown for Gramercy.
Okay, so what was your first impression of me? Because I got a little story I would like to get into after you speak.
I'm wondering if I already know the story, because I think I know your first impression of me.
Okay, let's get into this.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so I remember coming in with with the Birch crew and being like, Dan, you know, greeted me, and he was like, who's this guy? I was like... I was kind of meeting everyone in the kitchen again.
Sure.
And you were like, yeah, who are you? And I'm like, oh, I opened the place. And you gave me this look like, all right, sure you did. I fucking run this place now.
Wow.
Okay, this punk ass bitch wants to come in here my time.
So you've been gone for a while and Max has been working there. And you come back as the OG and he's like, OG my ass.
Yes. I feel like that was the case. Am I wrong? Did I get the wrong vibe?
I don't think.
This is 100% Max. I mean, it sounds like such a...
Totally, but I feel like I had heard so much about Craig that I feel like I wouldn't have been like a dick off rip. I would have been like, oh, well, yeah, but like, this dude's the man. You know what I mean?
This is you, like,
like Craig's lore. Craig's lore was pretty high at Bucktown. So it was like, like when we were told Craig was coming back, we were like, damn, like we're getting a heavy hitter. You know what I mean?
I'm going to be just Craig coming.
Like we just signed the top free agent. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I'm going to be honest. All right.
I'll be honest too. I'm a dick. So it totally could be possible.
Here's the deal. I'm going to tell it a little bit like it is right now. Okay,
that's fine.
Max doesn't have respect for anybody. straight. No, I mean, unless you're like fucking MF Doom or some shit. Unless you're like
Jaromir Jagr.
If
you're Igor Shesterkin,
if
Vesna, baby.
If you're not Sean Avery or Ghostface Killer,
he's a little too far right now. Avery fell off. Sorry, bud.
Honestly,
you're welcome on the pod anytime.
If you're gonna start worrying about hockey players being a little too far right, you're gonna run out of hockey players.
Absolutely. Any of the majors.
What I'm saying is that this motherfucker Max Richter don't got no respect for nobody until he sees it. So this sounds like
until he sees it. Exactly. I show respect after I see it. No, listen. That's what people from New York. He's from New Jersey.
We're talking about a Max Richter of X amount of years ago, and
what
it's like
I say? People.
We all know that we all grow on the constant, and like even someone that seems so like backwards as Max is, you know, he's growing. And so like even someone that is as set back as he is currently was even more set back years ago. So like, you know, I don't doubt that now you would show him respect, but
I really love the like, you know, he's describing me like I'm a little plant he found and grew. You taught me a lot, so I'm not gonna
This man is a master.
I do love plants.
Anyway, so I wanna give you my first impression.
Oh no.
I don't think it was really the first impression. It was just the first time I saw this dude in the field. You know what I'm saying? Like show me what he had. So Craig, like, you know, by the time Craig came back, like, things were so fucking different that it's not like Craig came back and was like, oh, I know how everything's going on. Because, you know, things evolve and change.
Of course. Yeah, the menu
so basically he was just like, Craig was just like, I'm like strong on the line. You want to let me do that, which I was like, yeah, let's fucking do it. You know, I don't want to fucking work the line.
Yeah, man.
I didn't want to work Fry Side, basically.
Yep.
Anyway, so the line at Bucktown.
I was going to say, it's mainly like a one person.
It's a like, one person line.
One person's
line.
Doing the cooking, the other person's doing the assembling, basically.
Assembling, flat top,
yep.
To go shit, sides. And so one person.
Basically like a cook and an expo. Frying. And you're both doing both
pretty
jobs.
Much, yeah. And the expo is cooking the burgers or like the egg sandwiches.
Yeah.
Or melting cheese on shit.
Working the flat top.
They're pretty, I would say they were pretty equally difficult though, like in their own
way. Yeah,
ways.
We're just trying to throw no shade.
I'm just making it clear to the people.
Fun fact, so, I can't really work expo because I'm dyslexic, and when shit gets, you know, hits the fan, like it just becomes a mess.
Gnarly, it's not worth dude.
It. Yeah.
And so Craig's dyslexia was so fucking hilarious. Sorry to make fun of you a little bit, but no, it was actually genius. So me and Craig are working and I'm like, all right, yeah, like this dude's like, you know, solid, like there's no problems. We get like super fucking busy, like we start cranking, and Craig, you know, as you might know, I'm on this pod, I have a podcast, so I like to talk a lot of shit. We're just shooting the shit, and I'm definitely like in my bag, going hard, talking shit. You know what I mean? Not like talking shit to Craig. Just shooting the shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, Craig is getting like visibly more frustrated because he's just like, because
he's got this little piss ant fucking yapping in his ear.
No. Just because he has so many baskets, so like you can only cook so much shit at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in a savage move, one of the funniest fucking moves I've ever experienced in the kitchen. So Craig needed to empty a basket to cook more shit, whatever it was. I don't remember.
Oh, I love this
dude
is going.
Fucking picks up. It wasn't even that funny, but I just like gave you so much support. He picks up a basket of fries and just dumps them on my flat top.
I need this fucking guy out of my basket.
I was laughing so hard. I was like, bro, what did you do that for? And he was just like, he's like, sorry, man. Like, I just needed the room. And I was like, all right. Like, I was like, honestly, like, the flat top's hot. It's not a bad move. Like,
dude, no, it's a sick move. Because yeah. They're done. They need to stay hot until they're sold. And he needs room in the fryer. So,
had saved the days, but like, you know, it was still fine.
Fucking throw it on your station is what I'll
do. Completely it's completely.
It's a power move, too.
I'm sorry.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
You ain't doing shit compared to what I'm doing right now.
It's a completely normal and called for thing to do. The savage part of it is just a complete lack of communication. the fact that you just chucked them right on there.
It was like a lot
saying,
of fries, was, too. It looked like most of the flat top.
He's that just was, like cooking on the flat top, and then and a then basket of fries the, just gets thrown.
The running joke for me and Craig was just whenever Craig was doing something, like he'd be like, yeah, dude, like I'm going to go make like a batch of slaw. I'd be like, all right, just don't throw it on the fucking flat top afterwards.
It's a slaw!
Like, I want to know what the civilized version of that is. Like, you'd be like hot fries coming at you.
There isn't one.
It was completely savage move. 100%.
It's pretty savage.
It was such a flex.
Excuse me. I see there's some room on your flat top. Might I impart upon you these three baskets of fries?
Well, Dan, it's one thing if you work for the person for deep or something. Like, if you and Jimmy are working on the line together and Jimmy throws some fries on your flat top, you're going to be like, yeah, it's cool. Jimmy and I are pretty much
2 or 3 hours into our first shift.
Yeah, you and Jimmy are pretty much two halves of one whole.
I loved it. I was like, dude, this kid's about it. He's down to do whatever he
takes.
Do
whatever the fuck it takes, man.
Max is probably...
It's contextual. If it's me and Jimmy, the communication is like...
It's nonverbal. Yeah, exactly.
It's like that episode of South Park.
Max has probably never seen a motherfucker put flies on his flat top. And this dude comes in and just chucks it 3 hours in, and he's like, wow, you really did open this place, man. At that moment, he was like, wow, respect, dude.
Yeah, dude, Craig would fucking dominate on the line. You came in wearing fucking no sleeves.
Like, sleeves,
that's right?
Oh my
sleeveless.
God.
That was before the no sleeve rule. That was a whole thing.
Ah, no, dude, it was awesome.
That's G-shirt. God,
I go fuck.
I didn't get.
So I just
there are things
you know,
that happen at Bucktown and I give shit about. It's all good.
Like what?
Craig, so I just wanted to tell that little story because that was like a really awesome moment I remember in my kitchen career. Dude, and
solid.
That was great. It was a great rush. So, fast forward a little bit. COVID comes, fucks everything up, yada, yada, yada. Here we are 2 years later, whatever.
Yeah.
Get vaccinated, you fucks.
Get vaccinated.
What happened?
What a long silence after get vaccinated. I love that.
So you were in Jersey and Adam hit you up to come back to Rhode Island?
Yeah, I had lost all my jobs in New York at the time, so I was moving back home.
You just threw fries on people's flat tops and they were like, get the
fuck
out.
Fuck not. Like, they were like, done with this.
At the Gramercy Tower, you threw fries on the flat top. You're like, get the fuck out of here.
Dude.
My guy is throwing fucking chairs.
Fucking chairs.
Let's not gonna do it. What happened?
So Adam calls me up when I'm packing up, and he goes, "Hey, I'm looking." Oh man, Dan can do this so much better than I can. You guys both have great Adam impressions.
What do you say?
That he said.
Say it in the fucking microphone.
No, he's gonna do an impression.
Oh, okay.
It's cool. We'll cut it all out.
Craig, I got a new restaurant.
Hey, Craig. Hey. I got a new restaurant.
I want you to be the head chef of it.
I want you to be the head chef. You guys can't see, but I'm fiddling with my pants right now because they're a little bit loose because I don't have a belt or pants that fit me.
We want you to come open it. Do you have some recipes that you can start pitching?
Hey man, like it'd be really cool if you come open this restaurant for us. I know you got some good recipes.
That was solid impression.
You got some good stuff. Let's go. Yeah, come on.
So he calls me up just looking for, you know, recipes and, you know, he wants to hire me. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm on unemployment. So, yeah, you have to accept if that's just how it goes. So I accepted the job. And
what was his offer?
So I made the offer. I made the initial payment, the initial salary.
And
which
this was to open what?
This was to open a deli slash coffee spot slash like little store, basically. Yeah, little
breakfast
food store.
Lunch.
Yeah, it was right by the ferry, right by the Block Island Ferry.
The old wheelhouse in Point Judith, right?
Well, yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought you meant the ferry.
Yeah, Point Judith. Captain Foggy's over in Point Judith.
Wow.
And
I said,
holy shit, you know, this is going to be good because it's going to be my first time being like, I'm the head chef. I get to make everything. I got all these good, you know, I get to run this bitch.
Or so
I got
fucking
a bunch of food. Yeah, so I thought. And I got a bunch of good ideas. I can execute a bunch of different sandwiches and shit, and this is going to be sweet. All right. So I said, you know what? It's a young restaurant. I want sweat equity, and I want 45K a year until we start getting the ball rolling. He said, fine, great. And I was like, okay. So I buckled down, got out of New York.
Fine, great.
Perfect. I buckled down, got right to writing recipes, think of ideas, all that kind of stuff. And I moved up here. And I was also going to be responsible for the rebuilding of the spot. So we had a little section underneath this place called Captain Foggy's, where I did a whole gut out of their current thing, demoed it, and built new countertops.
You were in there with the sledgehammer yourself, fucking shit up.
It was just me, yeah. I mean, I thought originally that I was going to get help, either from guy that I'm not going to name, or from Adam. Yeah, yeah. I thought Adam could hold the tool.
I actually did not know until right now that you did that shit yourself.
Yeah, that was all me, yep.
No, I was not made known that that was the
case. Rex, it's just exclusive.
I was made to believe that there was like at least like one contractor.
No, no contractor.
It was just you.
Just me.
Just you.
I did the build out. Period.
Motherfucker.
That's how shit goes in the industry, bro.
Yeah. So I did the build out. I was pretty proud of these. I did these huge 14-foot long hickory countertops. It was gorgeous. I was very proud of them. Like them. And I did, you know, I redid the counter space. We got going on. I think it was the first of July.
In the middle of COVID, too.
Middle of COVID. Middle
20,
of COVID.
2021? 2020?
No, 2020.
2020.
It's 2022 now.
2020, bro.
We're in our third year.
COVID? Yeah, third year.
Wait, they're still open? Like that.
What?
No. Oh, no. We closed.
Okay.
We're fucking all way right. Close.
I don't know. You guys
don't go there.
You were saying we're in our third year of COVID.
Third year of COVID.
Yeah.
Max is like, we're still in COVID?
So Dockside Provisions opens.
Yeah. So what happens is.
That was the name.
Dockside Provisions. Yep.
Sick name.
I got some stuff to go beforehand. I started.
It's not weed, Dan.
It's cool. There was nothing left. He's good.
I moved here, signed my lease, and I start the build out. And Adam comes to me and says, "Hey, we don't have enough money to pay you your full salary."
I mean,
on a weekly basis. He means
no. Like we'll pay for your some expenses.
You're like, can I get like $100 a week? Like, what are you?
Wait, so he's saying, he didn't have money to pay you at all.
Yeah,
paychecks.
Like, you're like, well, can I eat for free here every day?
Yeah. So
and sleep here,
and sleep here, and fucking yeah.
This is not an uncommon occurrence.
This is my life now.
No. If you guys don't know, at Bucktown, if things are not going right, the management is getting fucked. Same thing for me in at Dockside Provisions.
Wait, how early into this did he say that I can't pay you?
My first week. So nice. That was my first week demoing out the
before you the opened. Spot. It was before
it
you
was opened. Before we opened. I had just moved there, just got my lease.
That's some balls, bro.
That's some balls.
That's
dude.
A fucking.
And I go, holy shit.
We haven't even opened, and you're telling me we're broke.
But this is it. You know,
should have hit me up, bro. I would have been like, don't do it.
And I say, you know, all right, pay for my biggest expense, which is my rent.
Yeah.
It was $1,200 a month. And so I still live there.
Did he?
What? Yeah, he did. He did.
I mean, if they can't get you like $300 a week.
Dude, seriously.
That's right, bad.
That's bad. If
you should not be opening a restaurant.
So we're going to get into that. $300
a week is what you should be being like. I have that dedicated to like X amount of employees.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, you need to at least have $300 a week to pay one head chef.
That's, so, with taxes taken out, that's $820 a week.
Yep.
Damn.
So I say, okay. He's like, it's just until we open. So I'm like, all right, it's just a month. Whatever. I've moved here already. I'm working for this.
You're telling me you demoed and built that place in a fucking month?
Yes.
You sick fuck.
I worked 7 days a week. Between 12 and 16 hours in that space every day for the month.
So you really put your heart and soul into it.
Yes, it was fucking everything. I worked. It was my life for that month. It was all I did.
And they gave you $1,200 for that month?
Yep.
Damn.
Yep. And so it was just until we open. I'm like, okay, fine. And we open. And so it's a soft opening. You know, we do. Actually, I'm going to tell another story. Sorry. So
bring it to what we're here for.
He hired a guy because I don't know if he wants to be named or not. I'm not going to name him.
Did he also not get paid?
What? No, he got paid. He got paid good.
Interesting.
So he was a consultant, basically.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Joey.
Joey, shout out.
Yeah. Joey, shout out to Joey. You know who you are if you're listening. He did this. He was blamed for the failure of the project. He was like the scapegoat for Adam, mm-hmm. which was not the case. But he did like the menu design. He worked on making the items that we were going to sell in the store, our launch menu, and all that. He like really worked on the spot. And it comes
he
to
also
like
also put in a lot of work at Bucktown.
I didn't know that.
He did our whole like. During the first year of COVID, the first summer of COVID, we did the seafood boils. He did all that shit.
Oh, shit.
Joey did?
Me and him did all that. Yeah, Joey did all that
shit. So it sounds like Joey does a lot of...
Dude, me and him put together like low-key work for this dude. Seafood boil.
Dude, he's rad. And
then, you know, the stuff yeah. with the...
So what happens?
So the good part happens is I've worked tirelessly throughout the month. I'm exhausted. We're starting for the soft opening. I'm cutting meat for our meat freezer. And I'm like falling asleep at the knife and Adam is running around doing almost nothing. I'm going to say nothing.
Shocker. This checks out.
Shocker.
So and Nick Nolte's running around.
Do you really have to use that?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be cutting that thinner. I have spoken.
He's just running around the kitchen, just talking and yapping and, Joey is he is like trying to get our cash register to work. Basically, he's like inputting all this data right now, like into prices and whatever.
Sure.
And he finally snaps at Adam, and like Adam's like asking what he can do, and like he goes, "Fucking anything, Adam. I want you to do literally anything. You know what? If you stand outside, it would be better than what you are doing right now. Do fucking anything." He just snaps, and like my jaw hits cutting board. Oh, I'm like, great. Holy shit. Yes, I want to say that. I wanted to say that. I can't, but you know.
I mean,
he's could've. A fucking, yeah, I could have.
It's like you were getting paid.
No, that's a good point.
Shout out to Joey for that one.
Fucking shout out.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So how did Adam react?
Adam was amazing. It was, he was so angry.
Short circuiting.
So, like, absolutely. And he like, you know what? I don't think I need to be here right now. I don't need that. I don't need that. And like he like walks out. Like
that's
he's
what
the
Adam
big
said?
Yes. That's the like the you know like he's
so
a
he's
big man.
Fucking off just
so
as
he's
he was
fucking
told.
Off just like he was told. And he leaves to go have like lunch or stand on the beach or whatever the fuck he's gonna do.
Stand on the beach, walk into the ocean with a heavy raincoat on, a bunch of rocks in his pocket.
Oh my god, dude.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Tone it down. Yeah, right here. Mental health.
He just got really served.
we really want him to get help.
Oh yes.
He just shouldn't. He just shouldn't own a restaurant.
He shouldn't own a restaurant. He shouldn't own anything.
Shouldn't be in charge of any money.
Shouldn't be in charge of that. And so that was incredible for me. I was like, oh fuck yeah. And then the next day is like, isn't working. Sorry, Joey isn't working for us anymore.
I'll beat that up.
We'll beat that. Thanks, appreciate it. Joey isn't working for us anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. And then becomes the downward spiral, which is
shut out 9 Inch Nails
within hours.
Within like 2 days, this has happened.
I'm sorry. Let me interject for a second. So when he quit. Were you guys already open at that point?
We had just had our soft opening. We were opening in a week.
Okay.
I was prepping out everything that we needed for our menu.
All right. So it was coming right down to the wire, basically.
Yes. We were trying to, we wanted to open for what's the first major weekend in the summer?
Memorial
Day. Yeah, Memorial Day. We wanted to be open for that for sure. So
it's coming up in like a month.
Yeah, seriously. We opened about 4 days prior and. At that point I had cooked everything. I was done.
Annihilated.
I was annihilated. I had not slept. I was so stressed. It was awful.
You're on the Memorial Day grind.
A lot of my money was gone at this point because I'm spending it on food. I spent it on stuff for the build out.
You're not getting paid shit.
Wasn't getting paid. And so, yeah, I was pretty bad. And, he shows up and he's like, we're not going to do any of this anymore. I'm like,
what you mean? Like the restaurant?
Like, yeah, that's what I said. Like, what do you mean? I don't like, sorry. I don't like Joey's menu. Okay. Well, what do you want?
We've already ordered all the ingredients for that.
We had
menu.
Ordered all the ingredients for that.
What the
we
fuck?
Ordered a bunch of stuff for,
we
like
menus.
He didn't want it to be a store anymore. He really wanted to be a very like breakfast heavy, coffee heavy situation. Like lunch was going out the window immediately.
He basically just
completely changed what
at
he had
the last
planned
hour. At, like
pretty much.
You know, I'm just gonna do eggs.
Yes. I mean,
yeah, I don't
seriously, it was a 180.
Mayor's on my ass about this case.
And one of the things like I wanted, like my goal was eventually to extend everything, was to have enough employees to where I could have like an actual meat case, like a fresh meat sausage, like handmade sausages, terrines, handmade charcuterie, salumi, all that stuff. And like, that's why I joined the project originally, was not to run a coffee shop.
Yeah.
My goal was to kind of have
turn your apartment full of salami.
You were the chef.
Into
yes,
a restaurant.
Where
I was a chef that
chef,
was cooking.
You're the one in charge of what the fuck's coming out of the kitchen.
Exactly. And it just snapped. And it was all over. And so basically what happened was we eventually got two employees. They're great. Not gonna, you know, they were awesome actually.
But there was
shout
two
out to
of them.
Yeah, we had two. We had two.
Only two.
And they just worked the register. We never had a cook. It was only me. Only me. And so
it's taxing.
They only worked the register. They cleaned a little bit. And you know, Margs and tried to you know learn how to make sandwiches, and she did some of that towards the end. But like everything was me. And shout out to Margs, who got me through, because she was the funniest person I've ever worked with. She was fucking great.
Funnier than me?
That's not a high
all
bar,
right, fine,
bro.
I'll put out a close second.
Max, you're close second. We're going to have a talk, bro.
Damn
you're not that
right,
funny,
bro.
Yeah. And so within about 6 months after the summer was done, I remember days where we didn't sell anything. Like no one came into the store, no one got coffee.
You're talking like in the winter
coming the fall.
You're in fucking
October.
Point Judith.
Yeah, October,
like so it's just
September.
A season dying real quick.
Yeah, after August, I mean, and August wasn't even all that busy, but after August it was gone. We had nothing.
Damn.
I was still getting paid $1,200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I had pretty much run out of money.
Yeah. It's not like a sustainable salary.
Yeah. Because on things that I couldn't, we didn't.
What's have, that like 14 and a half K a year?
14 and a half. Yeah, it is. It is like 14 and a half K.
14,400.
Yeah.
That's bad. It's not a livable wage.
And this dude's spending his own fucking money building on shit and
building
like,
shit, buying yeah. like the bread. So that was another thing. We had purveyors that we just stopped paying, so we couldn't get purveyors anymore.
Ugh.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. Dan knows all about that. Yeah, so we just stopped paying them, and wouldn't you know, we stopped getting stuff. And so I started, you know.
That tends to happen when you stop paying.
When you stop paying,
did you go to Adam?
When you stop paying for the stuff tends to stop showing up.
Did you go to Adam and was like, hey, dude, like, what the fuck?
Around July, not July, it was around the first week of June where he was like, so listen, I used the card to buy some stuff at what is it?
Depot.
Yeah, at the depot. And it was like not happening. I eventually went to like Adam and I was like, dude, what the fuck? Where's the money? Do we not have any money? Like, can we not pay for things? And he's like, so listen, we don't have any money anymore.
Wait, so I also wanted to know, did that stuff happen like at the beginning of Bucktown when it was just like you and Ashley and Adam? Like, did you guys try to buy stuff and like, there was just not enough money in the car.
No,
like there
no. Was some at the beginning of it was at the beginning of Bucktown. That was the stark difference.
Balling out. Flush with investor cash.
Balling out.
Yeah, they're
you're flush
out.
With that investor yeah, cash.
Yes.
But by the time and, you open Doc, whatever the fuck it's called.
And I was under the impression that Bucktown had been killing it and doing very well.
Well, because it was so know. Well thought of.
Yeah.
Business wise, it was.
Even like after I worked with you and like when I first like, I guess, invested in Bucktown. Should not have ever done, by the way.
Craig, you look pissed right now.
But
I'm angry.
Like, even like that early on, like before I was really involved, there were times when I there was like complications with like paying for stuff. And yeah. I didn't think fucking anything of it.
And you know what? Adam would always shirk it to like, it's the B purveyor. You know, I don't like them anymore. Oh, I don't like them.
Like, oh, we have.
I don't like him anymore. That was his reason.
Because he's not fucking paying him.
Yeah. He doesn't like him anymore because he's saying, hey, fuck
well,
you.
It was
my
like
money.
Every 3 or 4 months, the electric would go out. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, it's something
honey,
fucked up. He's like,
no.
Just to pay the fucking electric.
Honey. This is
and
like,
his job was to pay the bill.
That is his fucking
bro,
job.
It sounds like this guy could not handle like living in his
that's
own
like,
apartment.
That's like if we were handing out fucking just breaded raw chicken.
No,
what do you mean?
It's not like our job is to fry the chicken. Analogy. We're just giving out raw breaded chicken. Jesus. His job is to pay the bills. Pay the fucking bills.
Pay the fucking bills.
And it, dude, Bucktown was making a lot of money. It's not like they were not.
I mean, they're
busy.
Hit you know. Place yeah. to go.
Wonder where that went.
I think we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been down that road.
So shit's getting chaotic. You're out of fucking money.
We're out of money.
People stopped delivering food.
At that point, we had two employees that we were paying $15 an hour for them to not do a lot. They weren't doing a lot.
Shout out to Frank.
And I was like, dude, I need a paycheck. I'm not getting paid. And we got two people that are getting paid right now. And I'm like, I'm dying. Like, what do you I need something. He's like, we're going to figure that out. And so
I got this nice fishing rod.
Eventually we stopped paying rent. That was, I think,
sick.
July. We stopped July, June. No, that was probably the end of August. We stopped
business
paying rent.
Strategy.
And the landlord,
did
who
he tell
pretty
you?
Much lived there. What? No, he didn't tell me.
Okay, well, I don't know why I even asked.
Nah. And so the landlord, who was pretty much living there and kind of semi-living out of his car, would come up to me in like the afternoon and was like, hey, you talk to Adam or like another guy or anyone... you know, I didn't get rent. And I'm like, oh, I don't have a check. I can't.
I just work
you.
Here, bro.
I just work here. And he was like, all right, whatever. And so like, but that kept escalating till, you know, he was like, I need rent money. And I'm like, I don't have it.
Yeah, who are you asking?
You know,
like, how many months?
Like I can't empty out the rent.
Wait, how many months did it stack up?
It stacked up to around September.
So like 3 months?
Yeah, it was like 3 months.
Jesus. Damn.
August, September, end of September.
On commercial rent, that's got to be at least
it was really bad.
Grand.
And so I was getting fired at both ends, where I didn't have money. Adam wanted to keep the restaurant going, and the landlord was pissed about not having rent. And eventually, after a miserable summer, I said, oh my God, this is fucking enough. And so I tried to be cordial about it. I was like, hey, I need a paycheck or I'm leaving, obviously. And he was like
for the rent or for yourself?
He's like, pay what?
Well, are you telling him he had to pay the fucking rent?
At that point, I had nothing. So COVID was still going on. There was not a lot of restaurant jobs around.
Yeah.
And if I quit, I can't go on unemployment. So it's just like, oh shit, you know, I need him to pay my rent. I have this contract.
Or you got to get fired.
Or I got to get fired. I should have tried that. I was the only employee. So I tried a whole bunch of stuff to try to keep the restaurant going.
Joey showed you how to do it.
Yeah, it's true. Joey fucking knows what's up. So I tried doing dinner programs. I tried doing takeout. I tried, you know, at that point I realized that Adam was done with this project very clearly. He had almost no interest in it. It was only me that was trying to keep shit afloat. It was only me that was working towards anything for that spot. I was like, all right. I was like, hey, I think it's time. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I think we got to close. And he goes, is that your decision? I'm like, yeah, we're closing.
This should have been made before you stopped paying rent.
Bro, you shouldn't have invested in a business in the middle of fucking COVID that you didn't have any money for.
But why start something if you, the business 101 is have a year's worth of expenses.
Yeah, you got to be able to stand to not make any money in the first year. If not the first five or something.
Yeah.
Five for restaurants.
Sounds fucking impossible.
Impossible.
So how long was it open for?
Altogether, I was there for 6 months. It was open for five. 5 months. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
It was short-lived.
It's very short-lived.
Tales all this time.
I'm just trying to think of all the money that was just wasted.
Just to go deeper into this, it wasn't just my spot. He also wanted to buy Captain Foggy's for Foghorn Leghorn Chicken or something. I don't know.
Sounds perfectly non-problematic.
Yeah. So he actually, what his goal was to open my spot to make money so that way he could finish opening up the top spot, which he had already put in a lot of money.
I'll say we have chicken.
We have chicken. So it was Captain Foggy's is it's a tourist trap. It's just what
he actually
is.
He actually, to his credit, wanted to keep the name at Captain Foggy's.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did.
Which is also stupid.
It's also dumb. And the mascot was dumb.
Terrible.
It was bad. Anyway, landlord was crazy too.
What a dick.
Oh God, dude.
So you just you came to him and was like, hey, I need some fucking money or I'm done. And he was like, I ain't got no money for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I think I'm done. So we closed, amongst a whole bunch of other shit that happened, like not being able to throw out my trash, and he said, just throw it in the other dumpster.
Are you kidding me? Ghetto. Run that the fuck back.
He said to use another guy's dumpster.
Because that's illegal.
Couldn't pay for his own dumpster?
Oh my
God. Use our next door neighbor's dumpster.
Bro, this is low class ass shit. This is making every place I've ever worked look like the Ritz-Carlton.
It was a joke.
This is insane.
Oh, my God.
You can't afford your own dumpster. Guess what? You can't afford to run a restaurant. Bro.
Dude, our AC broke.
Oh, my God.
Milk was a bad choice.
Our AC broke. I remember.
You need the Stephen A. July. Job for that shit.
It was hotter. It was hotter inside than it was outside. It was never fixed.
That's natural, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you mean for the dining room, for the guests, for the people that came
into the store, they go, "Oh my god, it's hot in here." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm dying."
Dude, Bucktown was the same way. Yeah, no one would eat inside Bucktown in the hot or the cold.
It was the same thing happened.
Yeah, I'll take my shit to go.
And you know what he said? He said
he won't even get $150 Walmart fucking air conditioner to put in the fucking window.
Nope. he said, why don't you open the back door and the front door? And we did that for a day, and it was awful because our back door, our dumpster, is right fucking there and is filled with fish.
I don't know, health code?
Filled with fucking rotting fish.
Fucking stank.
Oh, my God. And the flies.
The
flies. Dude, let me tell you about the flies.
The fucking hornets, God. Guy.
The flies came in.
Oh, the fucking hornets.
Hornets.
I fucking flame torched like 10 hornets one day. Like, there was.
Oh, God.
The flies.
These kids going after hornets with a fucking torch.
It was.
Hey, you know, you have a lighter miserable. And you have a can of propellant. You can.
If any of our listeners are good at drawing or artistry, I need somebody to draw Dan Bryan fighting hornets with a blowtorch.
Yes.
Because that would be sick to see on paper.
Yes. I'd buy that print.
Hey, man, don't knock it until you try it again.
Dude, I would love to see that.
So was that like how. Dog, as Dan said earlier in the episode, I'm not very respectful all the time. I would beat the shit out of him.
I was losing.
Well, no, you wouldn't because you're also a pussy.
Please.
So I was, everything compounded. And
I got street cred.
In retrospect, what it was, what kind of stayed street. My anger was a hope that this was mine. And on top of that, I had put so much time and so much energy. I had moved. I had upturned my life for this project to happen, to work, to do well, for me to grow and for me to make a spot for me and myself, which is selfish, sure, but it's what I wanted.
It's natural, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
you're like, I build something here.
Yes. Yeah. And I wanted it to work, and working 16 hours and 18 hours and not being able to sleep, it drains you and you just become complacent. You're just like, all right, it's just another day. Got to get through it. And you just kind of keep going.
Well, you're doing that job because you're like, I'm building a place for myself.
I mean, not from his standpoint, it was just like a manic fuck up.
It was awful. I mean, so we bought, another thing that happened is we bought all used refrigeration. And none of it worked. Lo and behold,
the reason why it was for sale that cheap.
I mean, it was just shit after shit. And when we had a bunch of we had this semi half ass empty store. We had I couldn't afford to put anything incredible on the menu. It's not we couldn't afford lobster for a lobster roll. You know, shit like that. And it's just. Things I boiled
look
over.
Look at the illegal lobsters down by the
you know, you just gotta go fishing. If you wake up at 3 a.m,
you just gotta find
those lobsters. And
right out of the docks there. Yeah, he's gonna walk outside. Go down there, find a guy.
Damn.
A hot dog, fucking.
You know, funny enough,
coat hanger.
I did get in with. I found a new friend down at the docks. She worked the bait company next door, and so she got a lot of the fishermen to come try my spot. Got to give her.
Is that the dumpster you threw in?
No, that was. Damn. But shout out to my girl Andrea. She fucking was another rock. She's awesome. Hell woodworker. Yeah. Anyway,
shout out.
But everything, nothing went right in that spot, and it was incredibly frustrating. It was awful.
Yeah. But so after you quit, have you talked to Adam since?
Let me talk about that. So the
going on 2 hours here.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
No,
I'm
sorry. Dude, don't be sorry. This is
let's go.
At the end,
people are gonna listen to this.
At the end of the time, we had to start sneakily moving stuff out of the space because we didn't want our landlord to rechange the locks. And so that way we couldn't get into the space and take our ice machine, our multiple fridges and all that stuff out of the space. So he wanted to just kind of do that really quickly under the cover of darkness situation.
So he's like, yes, ownership so meet me at 3 a.m. Yes. At Dockside.
Damn. Yes. So ugh. Me and you know him, I'm going to call him T.Y. You know T.Y.
Yes.
We recovered the fridges. I rented a moving truck, which with a big box truck, to get the refrigeration out.
Sorry, guys.
Which was mistake on my part because I said, if we rent a pickup truck, we'll
why weren't you just up. All right, I'm fucking bouncing.
I don't know.
Because I needed someone to pay my rent.
Yeah. I needed someone to pay my rent.
The 1200.
Employer, and he's a shitty one. He's an employer.
And so...
he's not an employer. He's not paying you.
He's just a moocher or something. He's just a dude.
He's a swindler.
That's absolutely right. You
know, fucking Tom Sawyer.
And so this was like kind of the last thing I was going to do. And what happened was, funny enough, we couldn't get a piece of the refrigeration in. We were having a lot of difficulty. It was slightly too tall, and we were worried that we were going to fuck up the truck, and it was a rental. And I call him, and I'm like, hey, man, I don't think this piece of refrigeration is coming back in. I don't know. Me and T.Y. had just spent hours muscling all this heavy fucking equipment trying to get up this ramp onto a box
that
truck.
Shit sucks so hard.
It fucking sucked. And
squeezing that shit through doors,
dude. Awful.
Taking hinges off. I won't get you started.
You're gonna get me started. I'm gonna
sit here for another hour.
I call him. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I don't know. We're just gonna have to leave it. And he goes, it sounds like you didn't rent the right truck.
Wow.
And I said, what the fuck did you just say?
Oh my God.
He's like, you're going to use that language? Why don't you call me back when you cool down?
Whoa.
And I said, fuck you. And I hung up. And I went to TY as a point of strength. And I was like, am I crazy? Am I the bad person here?
And am I tripping or is this person a piece of shit?
Am I the asshole? And he goes, no, you're not. This is crazy. This is inappropriate, and it's crazy.
That is insane.
Tell me you drove off with all of the fucking equipment just out of the
street. He called me back, and I said, I don't have to be here. I am going to just leave this truck, and you'll fucking deal with it. And I hung up again, and he called me back again after I had some time to fucking relax, had a cigarette or something. And he goes, all right, sorry, sorry.
Was the truck in your name or Bucktown's name?
It was in my name.
It's in your name, dude. He got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could have still just left all the shit and returned the truck.
Yeah, that's true. I had to remove everything. Anyway, I should. You need to be my manager. I need you just around me at any given time.
You need to be his hype man.
You ever need some like asshole?
You need a devil whispering in your ear telling you to do some fuck shit.
Yes.
So he called you back.
And so anyway, I was just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm not gonna leave here with this. Bleep that out, please. I'm not gonna leave him here with this. I'll deal with it. So I finished it. I went back, dropped off one piece of refrigeration was going to you, and he wanted the other piece of refrigeration to go to New York. And
what? I remember when this happened.
I was losing it.
What do you mean he wanted to go to New York?
I had to drive a box truck into New York. I did it.
What? Yo.
TY gave me a grand, and I was like, okay.
Okay.
I'll do it. And so I did that.
Driving in New York is no joke, bro.
No joke. With just a fucking car. Like, I'd driven in New York with just my Honda Element. Fucking fine. Whatever.
Beast. They won't take me on my element.
Craig's element is savage. Or was. I don't know.
I lost it.
It was such a sick car. She had big ass horns on the front of it.
It was really cool. Skull,
it was a badass car.
I drove it once and it made me feel really good.
It was my baby. It was my pride and joy. Funny enough, that broke and it was going to be a very large amount of money to fix it while I was opening this, adding to the stress, of course.
So you drove...
Motherfuck.
You drove the Penske truck down to New York. Where'd you drop the fucking thing off?
It was... I don't even know, dude. It was...
Some other...
It
was in Manhattan?
You know what? It was just outside of Chinatown. It was just outside of Chinatown.
Oh, did he have you drop it at, like, one of those kitchen stores?
Yes.
So would he returned sell it? To
he
them?
Returned it.
He returned it.
He returned it. I returned it.
You returned it.
I returned it.
So you were down like in the Bowery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, dude. I love those stores, by the way. Some of the best stores in New York to go to.
For sure.
The Bowery is a nice neighborhood too. I like being down there.
But
shout out New York.
So on the
ever heard of it?
The ride there was stressful. I was like, oh shit, because now there's a whole bunch of ways you can't get into New York. Because,
at least you had a G.
What? Oh yeah, I got a G. It was great for it. But getting out was the hard part because I had no idea. Like, my GPS is telling me to go on car roads because it thinks I'm in a car.
Yeah.
It doesn't know that I'm in a fucking 16-foot box truck or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got help from a trucker who I pulled up next to. And I was like, are you leaving the city? Like, how do you get out of here in a box truck? And he's like, oh, you just got to go down this
way. He put his dick away. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it.
You coming out of the park right here. Actually, he didn't put his dick away. It was just, you know, he saw his hand. He's got to block that out.
Both inches of it were just swinging in the breeze.
No eye contact.
Yeah, let's go, Brandon.
We got the Freedom Convoy.
You want to join the Freedom Convoy? Let's go, brother. We're going to the Capitol.
What'd it do?
Capitol. You got your zip ties?
Yeehaw.
You guys just went in on truckers.
So you drove out of New York.
And that was the end.
And so you haven't talked to Adam since?
No, not anymore.
Fuck him. I mean,
I'm not going to talk to him. I'm done with it. I'm fucking...
They're number one on the Racks of Dishes shit list is Fucktown. Followed by Poor Judgments.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Fucktown takes it. That's the only two spots we got.
The Establishment's kind of on the shit list, but
The Establishment is like a love to hate, though. Yeah. It's not really like on that kind of fuck shit. Yeah. It's more like the people that work at the Establishment are on some fuck shit.
Well, Craig,
this has been a real one, dog.
You're a sick fuck.
This has been a real one.
You have a big old heart.
Oh, no.
This is for the real listeners out there that made it this far through this episode.
You know, Bucktown is still trying to get that 50 G's.
Dude, don't give it to them. Don't donate fucking shit. They've had their chance. If they can't fucking figure it out by now, fuck them. Seriously.
Fuck Bucktown.
Adam Mayer, you fucked up, bro.
You fucked up big time.
Fucked up.
And hopefully this is the last Bucktown episode. Unless Adam wants to come on.
Oh, my God. Are you going to get Adam on? Is he allowed?
I fucking doubt. He's definitely allowed. But
I mean, he's definitely allowed.
Anyone that... let's make this clear here. Anyone that we shame on this podcast...
Oh, man.
Absolutely can come on anytime. Defend yourself.
Fucking respect the shit out of that.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Prove us wrong.
But anyway, I'm Max Messier Richter.
I'm Dan Cotter.
And I'm Craig.
And this is the Rags and Dishes Podcast.
The army's got the kitchen. Kitchen roll, throw it.